Good evening, and welcome to Monday Night Playhouse. I'm Allison Seeley Smith, and tonight we're in for a real treat as we continue with our 7-week-long celebration of Black culture in Canada. East Coasting, or Make It Beautiful, is a 90-minute words and music special recorded live in Glenn Gould studio. It's a poetic and musical journey based on the life of George Eliot Clark. Poet, playwright, librettist, teacher, and critic, George Eliot Clark is one of Canada's preeminent and internationally acclaimed black artists. His Execution Poems won him the Governor General's Award for Poetry, and they'll be featured tonight in our show. Canadian film and television star Philip Aiken plays Clark in this performance, and Arlene Duncan stars as his muse with a heavenly voice. The music director and composer for this evening is Juno Award-winning jazz composer and pianist Joe Seeley. We go now to Glenn Gould Studio for East Coasting or Make It Beautiful.
It is my sovereign pleasure to introduce the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation's Bard. Pretending just for now, CBC means Colored Baptist Church. And here he is, that son of Cornwallis Street Baptist Church, he who was always U.S. ugly, garrulous, his Olympic laughter crisscrossing the country, networking conspiratorial sabotage to undermine no damn good politicos. I hereby mean that George Eliot Clark, fleshed out here by Philip Aiken, with his muse animated by Arlene Duncan. Clark is a poet, librettist, novelist, and prof, fueled by ooh-la-la indulgences and romance as suspect as a platonic French kiss. A Haligonian Torontonian, Clark claims to add to our literature by subtracting all its reverence for reticence. I am your host, Eric Friesen, and this program is East Coasting, or Make It Beautiful, where Clark seeks to justify his ragged right, black-dyed, unjustified lines in Dante triplets cadenced by Aiken and in song incarnated by Daryl Huggins. Clark dedicates East Coasting to his late mother, Geraldine Elizabeth Clark, née Johnson, Florida Week 1939 to 2000. Who knew, to quote Alden Lynn Nielsen, art is an inescapable burden of beauty. Ladies and gentlemen, meet the poet.
I come bam on your door, crack a keg of homemade nails. You shake your drawers in my face until each bone in me howls. Let's not smudge this thing over or pretend it's all just roses. I'm drowning in your river. I'm carrying all your crosses. Damn, you'll bless me, I'll laugh. I'm not afraid, afraid to love or to hate. If I gotta strike a blow, I'll hit as boldly as preachers say.
Admirable Pound. Always primary. Defers to the Chinese in Canto 53, quoting, "Make it new." While Malcolm X bade his hosts always keep his intro simple, telling them to make it plain. Well, I concur, but prefer in my native black novella Cos Brogue this declaration, "Make it beautiful." As my Ars Poetica, what comes natural, cause it be what my mama Geraldine Clark practiced too, choosing beautiful shoes to cajole and coddle one rickety foot, plus gorgeous Sunday hats to announce to all and sundry, I am more than your equal. But I only became a poet when I critiqued her exploded marriage, and she sighed,
"Oh, George, how could you write that?"
That was 20 years ago. 20 years since Saltwater Spirituals and Deeper Blues debuted my primary primitivism.
He could not escape the wilderness. Bark encrusted his wine bottles. His pencils grew fur and howled. Sentences became wild eagles that flew predatory patterns, swooping out of a white sky page to tear apart field mice images, scurrying for meaning. A carcass manuscript rotted on a shelf or a hillside. He could not tell the difference. A bear trap of ideas snared him. He could not poeticize the country and not become it. His poems filling with Neanderthal nudes, prowling punctuation, snarling sounds, guttural.
I begin where Peter Dale Scott begins, listening to the candle, precisely in Dallas, Texas, November 22nd, 1963. Besides, I also adore Her Excellency Madam Clarkson, to whom Scott tunes and attunes his lyrics. Why not? The Right Honorable Governor General is cinematic chic, always en vogue, just like on that afternoon, my stylish mother vacuumed, and I eyed this woman, so like my mom. Bronze, beige, brunette, elegant, enlightening CBC's Take 30 with Paul Soles, dazzling the television. That afternoon when I was three, a crisp, nippy Friday, and not watching on the black fringe of whites-only Halifax, the augustly golden, chivalrous leaves dying, when a babysitter neighbor, peremptorily adult, ran zigzagging, haggard, in ranting, raging sunlight, gagging, "The president's been shot!"
Program to bring you a special report. President Kennedy has been shot in Dallas, Texas, by an assassin and has been gravely wounded. Also wounded with the president was Governor Connally of Texas. The president has been rushed to hospital.
And I stood in a doorway looking out while gripping my mother's long skirt, her right palm lightly warm on my head. And the very air turned hard, shiny gold. While the cold globe spun toward darkness, how could I sleep easy again?
Falling.
stars fell. We forgot the kiss that drove us into the grass so hard the stars fell. The stars. Yet I feel terrified and foxed and wholeheartedly in love with him. And I hate him now and want to kill him now all at once. What happened to our love? Oh, tell me.
News was always ancient in that hell called Halifax. Nothing new below its citadel, as if slavery only ended yesterday. And so, I'm four, shooting marbles outdoors with my two brothers, younger, just up the Sloping Bay Road from Halifax, when three white boys, grade school age, began chucking rocks at us three tan boys, began pitching rocks and that word, niggers. That felt rock hard. So we hurled it back, called them pallid boys, niggers. Innocence is like that. Just too innocent. Then Daddy emerged, shooed the white boys off, summoned us sons indoors when I feared he'd lick us for picking up this scabby new word, oozing putrid news, no? He moored us before a looming mirror, uncupboarded two bowls of sugar, said, "School yourselves in this mirror. You're brown, just like this brown sugar. Those schoolboys are like this white sugar. Some white sugar people don't like brown sugar people like us."
A smoked gold, black Micmacs, Africadians.
Cries of river stars, the moon and pipes of water sorrow that dance in mines. The long march from Jarvis to Wyla Falls, a shotgun and dissolving in petals. His child mother who witnesses and cries o'er its corpse, gankered white by lilies. The history of love that could not be, though every lyric sketches liberty.
As a boy, I aspired to be a brainy ace, concocting TNT with chemistry sets, erecting empires with stamp collections, sporting a long black scarf like Richthofen, the Red Baron, and splashing vegetable oil and blue food coloring on poor-ass bullies. My report cards were gold star excellent, due to my parents' exertions and Alexa McDonough, my kindergarten teacher. And so I ascended through grade school like a kite, scoring first prizes while my parents struggled for human rights. Then, when I was 10, Sheena liked me. And I liked Susan D., who was like my mother in her porcelain cream and black, that is to say, Anne Frankish creaminess, with Turkish dark eyes and hair. For 2 sweet years, we chased each other, laughing around the block, so that her folks asked me one day if I thought it was okay for coloreds and whites to marry. I said, yes. Their faces bled, then flushed. But suddenly, Susan was 12, and one Sunday, I came calling. She was wearing her first real nylons and first serious bra. Fresh from church, and a pain smote me, spying her unmarriageable beauty.
The white bathing moon ogles itself in the sea, all black and handsome.
Turning black and black and black in high school while sipping Manischewitz Concord wine, the same indigo grape dark blue as the cover of Louis Dudek's anthology Power of Our Time, whose pound picks include The River Merchant's Wife, A Letter. I heard the lyric as Ma Rainey, sugared by Yeats. Some Yangtze Delta blues. Li Po's thousand-year-old song as new radio.
Called to a thousand times, I never looked back.
I crave to wail hurtful blues like that. Imagining myself at 16 a poet. Skinny, buck-toothed, black boy, native son of Three Mile Plains, Nova Scotia, craving to be intellectually sensual, to impress auditors with my authentic pains, blending Bob Dylan and Otis Redding, eh? What I desired, to versify Three Mile Plains, gypsum quarry victims, and apple blossom bells. So, there, babying a radio, I scribbled my first poem. Seriously, a true poem. Watercolor for Negro Expatriates in France, written while 1978 became 1979, making me a poet overnight.
What are calendars to you? And indeed, what are atlases?
Time is cool jazz in Breton. You, hidden in beret or eccentric scarves, somewhere over the rainbow where you are tin men requiring hearts, lion men demanding courage, scarecrow men needing minds all your own after Dubois made blackness respectable. Geography is brown girls in Paris in the spring by the restless Seine, flowing like blood in chic African colonies. Josephine Binker on your bebop phonographs in your lonely, brave, old rented rooms. Gallic wines shocking you out of your cells, leaving you as abandoned as obsolete locomotives, whimpering lead belly blues in lonesome shantytown USA.
What are borders, frontiers to you?
In actual seven-league sandals, you ride Monet's shimmering water lilies. In your street artist imaginations, across the sky darkened here and there by Nazi shadows, crooked thunderclouds, and in other places by Americans who remind you that you are niggers, even if you have read Victor Hugo.
Night is winged Ethiopia in the distance, rising on zeta beams of radio-free Europe, bringing you in for touchdown at Orleans. Or it is strange strychnine streetwalkers fleecing you for an authentic Negro poem or rhythm and blues salutation. This is your life. Lounging with Richard Wright in Matisse Green Parks, facing nightmares of contorted lynchers every night. Every night.
Scatological ragtime reggae haunts the caverns of Le Metro. You pick up English language newspapers and Time magazine, learn that this one was arrested, that one assassinated. Fear walking like Gregor Samsa in the hands of a mob. Lust for black Constance Chatterley, not knowing that all black people not residing in Africa are kidnapped victims.
After all, how can you be an expatriate of a country that was never yours?
Pastel paintings on Paris sidewalks, wall posters, Beardsley styled. You pause and admire them all, and France entrances you with its kaleidoscope cafes, chain-smoking intelligentsia, absinthe, and Pernod poets.
Have you ever seen postcards of Alabama or Auschwitz, Mussolini or Mississippi?
It is unsafe to wallow in Ulyssian dreams, genetic theories, vignettes of Gertrude Stein, Hemingway, other modern modelings, while the godless globe detonates its war heart, loosing goose-stepping genius and dark secret labs. Perhaps I suffer aphasia. I know not how to talk to you. I send you greetings from Afrique and spirituals of Catholic negritude.
Meanwhile, roses burst like red stars. A flower explodes for a special sister. You do not escape gravity in France, where everything floats on the premise that the earth will rise to meet it again the next day, where the Eiffel Tower bends over backwards to insult the Statue of Liberty, and a woman in the flesh of the moment sprouts rainbow butterfly wings and kisses a schizoid sculptor lightly on his full ruby lips. And an argument is dropped over cocoa by manic mulatto musicians who hear whispers of Elliot or Ellington in common prayer.
You have heard Ma Rainey, Bessie Smith. You need no passports. Your ticket is an all-night room facing the ivory voodoo moon full of Henri Rousseau lions and natives, and your senses inexplicably homing in on gorgeous Ethiopia, while Roman rumors of war fly you home. At 17, eager, I netted un Acadien, Irish name for language camouflage, blonde, green-eyed, artsy, and just as eager. Her morals descended from Janis Joplin, but she was ready for James Brown, just as I was ready for Joni Mitchell. And I knew her nakedness could startle stars. Her yellow hair, so silvery some nights, it was a Niagara of miniature suns.
Along the French shore, where we lushly kissed, stewing in our gushing youth, juicing and lollygagging on beaches, then slurping wine.
I could rest neath the summer of her hair, get inferno comfy under steamy stars, watch white surf cresting black water. Like Othello and Desdemona consummated. And weren't we all like that dicey couple? That naive, despite my words and her art?
Bring back your face, oh, pictures. Recall our old place. Is it really true that once we were young? Is it really true that once we were one? I looked through the photo album, and I found you lying under apple blossoms. Oh, pictures, bring back your face. Oh, pictures, recall our old place. Really true that once we were young? Oh, is it really true that once we were one? Is it really true that
In Queen Elizabeth High's English class, while Snow colonized air, I annexed a Malcolm X text, becoming soulful, funky. A no-bullshit alleyway haiku graffiti artist, reading Leroy Jones's Dutchman and thinking, I'm like his bourgeois hero Clay, who mentions dudes draping overcoats over their arms to refrain from axing pale, reedy throats. Then I found an apple blossom Eden, the Annapolis Valley, oasis of dandelion wine, and brown girls, bronze girls, black girls.
Ready to eye and get eyed in return.
So, riding with Enos in Weymouth Falls in a blizzarding black October of 1978, when Jonestown was dying...
...are sweeping through the tropical forest in search of several hundred members of a religious cult. They fled their compound in the settlement they called Jonestown, leaving behind the bodies...
I could enjoy a delicious, quilted sleep, then fall as soon as I awoke in love with a caramel sweet pepper freckled, shy crooner of Nashville sonnets. Her voice so smoky and scratchy and honeyed, she had to be poetess Shelley. And she was... At 18, I thought the Sisibu wept. 5 years younger, you were lush, beautiful mystery. Your limbs, scrolls of deep water before your homes lost in roses. I swooned, drunken in the village of Wyla Falls. I brought you apple blossoms you refused, wanting Hank Snow wood smoke blues and dried smelts, wanting some Miljerk's dumb, unlettered love.
That May, freights chimed xylophone tracks that rang to Montreal. You scribbled postcard odes, painted Le Fleuve Saint-Laurent comme la Seine, sad watercolors for Negro exiles in France, and dreamt Paris white with lepers. Soft cripples who finger ponds under elms drink blurry into young debauchery. Their glasses clear with Cointreau, rain, and tears.
You... hung the moon backwards. Croon crooked poems that no voice could straighten. Not even O, who stroked guitars because he was going to die with a bullet in his stomach. Innocent, you curled among notes, petals, the scale glissando from windows agape, and remained in southwest Nova Scotia while I drifted sad and tired in the east.
You have been gone. 4 springs. This April, pale apple blossoms blizzard. The garden flutes E-flats of lilacs, G-sharps of lilies. Too many years are past.
Past the marble and pale flowers of Paris, past the broken cubist guitars of all Shelley, I am coming down through the narrows of the Sisibu River. I will write beforehand, please. Please come meet me as far as Gilbert's Cove.
I think it is my duty at this time to recommend to my colleagues that we hand the government over and that I recommend to the Governor General that he ask Mr. Clark to form a government.
When Trudeau tottered, then crashed, dragged down by inflation fatigue and disco malaise, I vamoose from Marxist-Leninist Montreal. That Maoist Trotskyist house with only the vision of one Shelleyan kiss to infuse the lyric pen between Prole cigar fumes and a billion New Brunswick potholes. Love poem, song regarding Weymouth Falls. Then, rippling down the Annapolis Valley, I came, following the sinuous Hyaline River, eyeing white clouds on its surface, white sheep on its slope, but found Shelley now shyly noncommittal.
Injured, I tramped miles and miles under chilling stars until a Liberal Party fiddler, hot from a big county shindig, drove me drearily to Digby, and I never saw Shelley clearly again. After the apple blossoms faltered, fell, I trekked again that valley, plucked a barefoot auburn nymph, hickory-scented with cigarettes and Tia Maria, who serenaded with flesh her Black Panther Yates. A month of drizzly, sultry nights. We clutched each other, or I cradled a typewriter, while she, in silver panties, read Huckleberry Finn and took busy drags off her Player's A.
What an occult coupling, Aquarius and Leo. But you called her babe, imagined a cabin plus kids with her in Sunflower County.
Shelley, dark eyes, rain kisses on my parched lips, I'm fainting. My heart's like a burnt desert, 'cause all your rain's gone away. Sunflower County, dry enough. Those flowers are aflame. Let me win your loving tears, so everything will bloom again.
Supposed to be like peaches and herb.
Reunited, and it feels so good.
Babe and I sundered with distance. In black dawn, I slid from her icy house, my wineskin smoking with Tia Maria, to ship to Upper Canada and its Waterloo. Then, skip, slip, trip into English co-op. Then, Toronto Shepherd subway station to control traffic signals via computer. With immunity from lawyers in case I fouled up a million drivers by pressing buttons I didn't understand. Now, 21, I sent manic notes to a classmate, half Chinese, part black, purely Jamaican, with a Spanish, French, German, English name. So Trudovian, bilingual, multicultural, her bee-stung lips set off her wasp waist like a match flame sets off dynamite. Soon, we kissed in secret places, dodging gossip, but she took ideals, a Christian zine, thus made Université Laval her nunnery.
So you lyricized French, your kisses all tongue, sank in her province like a lover, your spines melting, your organs glittering.
I scribbled more letters. Letters upon letters. Letters, 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 letters. But her eyes incinerated my letters.
My love, you wrote me such letters. Such hurting words, but those letters, those verses, were second scripture to me.
blackberries. And a pretty as calico lace. Your skin's like roses sunk in cream milky as sheer silk, as sheer silk rained upon.
My honors BA in English didn't reflect 3 weeks hitchhiking the West, nor 6 weeks inking blues in Banff, nor swallowing scotch much too much, nor my 8 months amok in Queen's Park, ripping parchment to mock up Algoma Manitoulin's voting history, nor did it record Election Ontario's nights in the spooky, chilly XTO morgue when Scott Thompson, guard and actor, opened the doors at midnight so I could type deadly poems on an IBM Selectric. Graduating at 24, I got elected student newspaper editor for 1 year. It entailed a different liqueur every week. But I had nursing and solace via YC, Hong Kong Chinoise, whose black lacquer hair gleaming concentrated astonishing stars. Deadlines met, it was back to Halifax, its cold white faces saying no, while YC flew back to HK and I flew to London, Amsterdam, Paris, oh, gargoyled Paris, its midnight lights igniting the Seine while 10% alcohol beer inflamed my brain. Landed in Halifax again. I was proclaimed a black provincial social worker. Then I saw Shelley's brother's shotgun slaying in an obituary. I wheeled to Weymouth Falls to help oppose customary injustice, but I also plagiarized backwoods black talk. It was this poet's civic duty to rebuke the government of Nova Scotia, its Cro-Magnon and satanic Tories, so that the Weymouth Falls Justice Committee could face the Attorney General and bid me cuss out that pasty-faced bastard in official African Nova Scotian English. The honest speech Valley Africadians learned me to compose.
Give me nothing.
to job out, child, and I won't have nothing to holler for. Just sit back, relax, and be black. I'm gonna learn you about the meds so you can escape the bitter foolishness I've suffered. A little thoughtful can save you trouble. Child, you gotta lie to get a good man. And after you get him, you gotta be set to hurt him, to hold him. So help my Chucky. Cause if you don't, or won't, or can't, you're gonna be stepped on, pushed round, walked out on, beat up on, cheated on, worked like a black fool, and cast out of your own house. Now, pack a spare suitcase, one for him. If he proves devilish, it'd be easier to toss him out that way. Put one change of clothes in it so he can't beg and bug you for nothing. If he be too quiet, he'll ruminate and feel that bottle more than he will you. Rum will be his milk and meat for months. It'll spoil him for anything. Won't be fit to drive his nail no more. And if he be sweet looking, a heavy natured man, always pulling on women, and he takes up with some spiny woman all dadlied up from the cash he's vowed to bring to you, just tell him right up and down that you ain't his monkey in a dress and raise particular devil. Don't give him no shakes. And if that don't work, don't waste another black word. Grab yourself a second man. Watch out for two-faced chroniclers. These women will grin in your face looking for news about you and your man. And just when you trust their trashy talk and make your man groan and grump and get all upset, these gold dust whores creep up behind your back, crawl in your bed, and thief him away. So don't put no business on the streets that's conducted between the sheets. Child, nothing, life's nothing but guts, muscle, and nerve. All you gotta do is stay black and die.
Only after studying this orality did I discover I have my own voice. Independent of print, a voice steeped in official African Nova Scotian English. The talking book Valley Africadians learned me, a heartfelt alphabet. No authentic social worker. I shuck social struggle for strict schooling, going to Dal for an M.A. in poetry. My tutor was that freeing genius John Fraser, Cambridgian, splatter flick Shakespearean, who snapped JFK up close and innocent 1960, the rat year I was born. In a house volcanic with talk, Fraser nodded at capital ideas and frowned at screwy ones. That Baudelaire essay he demanded I write was damnable. Damnable. But I learned more about poetry than ever I had before. Next, I started a funky punk tabloid, The Rap. 8 pages a month of jazzy scandals. Mark Day and I scooped the Halifax dailies, used our ad revenue to buy beer. Then got noticed by Howard D. McCurdy, MP, ex-biology prof from Windsor, Ontario. Now, snazzy opposition star foe of the hellish sleaze and treason unleashed by the Mulroney Circus of Devils. Howard, Tony, black rhetorician, summoned me. And I locomotive to Ottawa after staring at newsprint like a wanted man.
Wei Si returned from Hong Kong. After she flew all the way back to Halifax, after she returned from Hong Kong.
Seeking a after hard things, muscular work or sweat swagger action. I rip wispy help wanted ads, dream of watercolor sailors pulling apart insect wings of maps. Stagger down saxophone blues alleys where blackbirds cry for crumbs. I yearn to be Ulyssian, to roam foaming oceans or rest a wage from tough, mad adventure. For now, I labor language, earn a cigarette for a poem, a coffee for a straight answer, and stumble punch drunk down these drawn and quartered streets, tense hands manacled to poor mouth pockets. It's true, I got married on Halloween, though Howard advised against it. But I was scared to be 27, an age that takes four syllables to say. So I wed a good person I later served dishonorably. We slid along Ottawa's icy promenades, hollering, "Cheerio!" to the parliamentary guards. And I siphoned Howard's cache of scotch, replacing it off and on, reading Pound, while hearing Coltrane's My Favorite Things. Then I flew to Windsor to fight free trade for 49 days in 1988, so that Howard trounced the tricky grits because our patriotism was honest. Oh, quick, I yelled, "Run, Howard, run for the NDP leadership." And he did. Running smack into pastel racialism and fiasco elections that chose a weak leader for weaker reasons. But there was nothing to be done but a doctorate in English at Queen's U. So to Kingston I went with Wyla Falls coming out. My marriage coming undone because of my vows broken or left undone.
Leaves downpour. A gilt burnt smelling rain. Tincture of finality. Tractors tire in the fields. The days decline. We fall too. Your hand fists in my gris-pure hair, fasts my mouth to your caustic kiss. Here is love, that body-drenching ache, that fine rippling so much like leaves along the spine, those pretty chills.
My dissertation paired English Canadians with African Americans, arguing an anathema. Their schools of poetry are similar. The idea made chalk citoyens blush and bluster. Thus only Grand Duke University of Durham, North Carolina, engaged me instantly upon my convocation. So I was repatriated to the Republic. Land of my mother's, home of my father's, Afro-America. Soon, Caucasian Canucks asked me on my sorties home,
"How can you tolerate the South's racism?"
I'd laugh and answer, "It's easy. I grew up in Halifax." But Malcolm X was only one hero. Another was Pierre Elliott Trudeau. Amid dogwood and magnolia blossoms, I mourned my missing native apple blossoms. So I jetted to and fro our Gothic kingdom, Vancouver, Toronto, Montreal, Quebec, Halifax, scrutinizing all as a mutinous expat. For the Yanks made freedom a fleshly, graspable treasure. A thing tangible and delicious, not suspect as it is in Canada. Pity. Saved, I studied Sade and Shelley, then scribed with James Rolfe Beatrice Chantrey.
An opera, Americano fierce, just like Blue would be. Blue is a noose strangling the vulnerable sky.
Blue is a generic nigger, a genre nigger, an angry nigger.
Blue is Bombay Sapphire gin when it's lapped direct from the bottle.
Blue is Hitler in bed with Chamberlain in Munich with Eva Braun.
Blue is a saltimbanque mountebank confusing Scotiabank with a blood bank.
Blue is a hole in a bucket that the Atlantic can't fill.
Blue is Tory, pot-bellied, smug, just like the Oxford English Dictionary.
Blue is the hippie starved to death by the lucre-hungry yuppie.
Blue is the final Canadian dollar bill.
Blue is Jackie O helping out JFK's back by getting on top.
Blue is your worthlessness in the eyes of the Royal Bank.
Blue is what happens when you sleep through your moment of truth.
Blue is a moth huddled in the middle of a sugar bowl as the spoon is plunged in.
Blue is saltwater spirituals and deeper blues, lush dreams, blue exile, and blue.
Fatal, foolhardy poetry.
Lost its fury. Tonight it's only a tropical depression. A far cry from the killer hurricane that battered the southeastern United States last night. Fran hit land in Cape Fear with winds measured at over...
Hurricane Fran, September 96, killed my power 5 days, so I plugged in my Mac at Duke's Canadian Studies Center. That's how I met an Indo-Mauritian scholar of 18th century French erotica. And 2 years later, we married. And honeymooned in Venice, where I sat by Pound's grave on Cimitero, then caught a train to Bellagio as a 6 degree separated Rockefeller guest among other artists, and to quote Peter Scott,
the scholars rattling their teacups back in the Villa Sera Bologna.
There, drinking limoncello or Negronis, that fusion of Campari gin, Martini Rossi red vermouth.
Slightly inebriating, like the terraced vineyards of the Villa Sera Bologna above the richly towered lake.
Como, Scott means, across from Cadenabia. After ransacking the collage of a library, I lounged in sunlight to write Gita this poem. I could pummel the wind for daring to splay your silver virgin hair. I could blind the sun for eyeing you so hotly, so possessively. I could batter the rain for so libertinely moistening your gold face. I could stab the vulgar air for always stepping so bodily between us. I could behead the roses for snatching their scent from you as you pass. I could burn the grass that dews your brown feet without my permission, and those ivory sheets that clasp you all night. Why, I could strangle them. No longer nervous about America, save for its loud mouth, lethal diplomacy, but not wanting to turn 40 in the U.S., not wanting to see in 2000 in the U.S., I arrived at the University of Toronto in 1999 to teach African Can Lit, and traveled to Fredericton to research the hangings of my cousins, George and Rufus Hamilton, in 1949 for the Hammer murder of a cabbie. Angered by their crime and their calamity, I drafted execution poems in 2 weeks. And Gaspereau Press sentenced it as a big black book, a folio, 2 feet long, 1 foot wide. It sold instantly in centuries and was hailed, then honored with a Governor General's Award. Even if my name was mud, black ink crud among the jealous poets of the East, snow and tears marring their crabby faces in the dark, icy drizzle of spiteful autumn. I got Hallelujah Watermelon! Virginal pears! Virtuous corn! Munich Hike at Ultra Wing King! Luscious, fat, ass watermelons! Plump pears! Big, plump corn! Lagusta Istahadine! Come and get it, cucumbers! Hot to trot, lust, fresh cucumbers! Voulez-vous coucher avec moi? Watermelons! Go to church and get your redeemed watermelons! O peccatore in verita! Good God! Cucumbers! Righteous pears! Golden Baptist corn! Di roya is dognoren like to cough! I got sluttish watermelons! Sinful cucumbers! Jailbait pears! Planted by Big Mouth Chaucer and picked by evil Shakespeare!
Decades after first idolizing her screen image, royal jubilee it was to meet Her Excellency, the Right Honorable Adrian Clarkson, and His Excellency, John Ralston Saul, to sample Cape Breton scotch, delectable, in a gaudy room with a ceiling like a tent. After reciting Pound's River Merchant's Wife to Laurel, now deceased Louis Dudek, before an applauding audience of laureates, and Mr. Griffin, who wowed and joyous shouted, "You read my favorite poem." Then, a disappointed, annoying reporter, dissipated and noisy, queried crassly,
"What will you do with the prize money?"
Well, she was a noxious louse. In truth, I bought land in Three-Mile Plains, down in perennially floral Africadia. Just 3/4 of an acre, perfumed by vivid apple trees, spruce, and pines. Near Maplewood Cemetery, where lies my mother under white marble stone, her name inked in black ink letters, and where I plotted to be placed once my last words are an epitaph.
Pass me not, O gentle Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Calling Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Let me at thy throne of mercy find a sweet release. Kneeling there in sweet contrition, calling Savior, Savior.
goodbye. Soon, Dr. A.J. Hebel commissioned an opera for his Guelph Jazz Festival, a soul jazz libretto with South Asian accents. And Dee Dee Jackson of Ottawa and Brooklyn inked Quebec Cité, gilding Quebec City's romance and that epoch when une fille met me. Late at night at the train station in Lévis, we clambered l'escalier Cascou, leaving only music behind us.
It's a terrific irony men invented the hi-fi. I mean, high fidelity. For just as in high finance, they got no fidelity.
Apple blossoms blaze, call them beautiful and know the tender feeling of love, love that's palpable and real. You fulfill my meaning, am I meaningful?
Have invited me to savor jazz, like all alive as chocolate. So why taint it with saccharine or cadences of decadence? Is there some fault in your feelings? Are your plans purely flaws and
only as an architect, speaking to all of our student architects? I've my own firm, I'm stable but sure, and my designs are pure.
My blueprint old and omits no blues. I'll build Gaudi temples, Gaudi style I'll use. Virtue is the steely metal I trust. The man I wed will be iron, not rust.
Lakshmi Bharati, your ideas no caprice. Virtue should not buckle to vice. But Quebec's no Puritan paradise.
To breathe occidental oxygen, see my parents, to go rotten. So I skip all complications of men. What is wrong with women as men?
Lakshmi, you'll always be beautiful. You are going to always be beautiful. Can
your
I help it? And
as irresistible as a collagen.
Is that a sin? Can
your finesse and jazz talk the
sun?
Progressive kisses of perdition.
Is that a sin? I could scat sing this ballad Valentine.
To serve me barrels of very fine wine.
Dissipation with pure sugar, love to advance. Sip chilled Haitian rum distilled in France, the bed beside.
No, I trust no man.
Gita and I reside in East End, Toronto, in the ex-Eden of East York, near Little India's beaches, near Nova Scotia. She teaches French, wisdom, patience, truth. I teach English, but I don't know how. And I compose to stave off decomposition. I'd pick up Violetta LeDuc and read in her light the extreme blinding genius of La Batade. The black truth, I've written nothing. Nothing. Unless you disagree.
I must disagree. What you compose is song shouting from the page.
And what about my soul? Do I have any faith?
Aye, it's Nova Scotian African Baptist.
I can still see that soil, crimsoned by butchered hog and imbrued with rye, lye, and homely spirituals everybody must know. Still dream of folks who broke or cracked like shale. Pushkin, who twisted his hands in boxing. Morocco, who ran girls like dogs and got stabbed. Lavinia, her teeth decayed to black stumps, her lovemaking still in demand. Spitting black phlegm, her pension after 20 towns. And Tooth, suckled on anger that no Baptist church could contain, who let wrinkled Ely seed her moist womb when she was just 13. And the tyrant's son that reared from barbed wire, spewed flame that charred the idiot crops to depression and hurt my granddaddy to bottle after bottle of sweet death, his dreams beaten to one tremendous pulp until his heart seized, choked, his love gave out. But beauty survived, secreted in freight trains snorting in their pens, in babes whose faces were coal black mirrors, in strange strummers who stroked Gayan banjos, hummed blind blues, precise, ornate, rich needlepoint, in sermons scorched with sulfur and brimstone, and in my love's dark orient skin that smelled like orange peels and tasted like rum, good God. I remember my Creator in the old ways. I sit in taverns and stare at my fists. I knead earth into bread, spell water into wine. Still nothing warms my wintry exile. Neither prayers, nor fine love, neither votes, nor hard drink. For nothing heals those saints felled in green beds, whose loves were smashed by just one word or glance or pain, a screw jammed into thick, straining wood.
There is a place deep down inside I always go when I'm down so low, where my roots are, a place to bury my scars, and I am born once again, so it goes. And my heart has wings to fly. When I return to that place deep inside,
aged 44 in 2004, I must demand, what do I bring to poetry? Out of grisly, bleeding Haligonian streets, out of apple blossoms, apple wine, 3 mile plains, out of my father's oils executed on glass, out of existential ballads of lovelorn angst, out of parliamentary rhetoric, sometimes drunken, out of professorial jargon and southern slurs, out of the immortal Schofield reference Bible, Out of the Halifax North End Memorial Library, out of the Library of Parliament, out of talks at Harvard and at the Sorbonne, well, I bring...
Oral-based visionary writing.
Vernacular formalism.
Polyphonic poetics.
A profuse miscellany. Verbose, yes, but singing. Singing. A soundtrack of echoes, blues effects in black ink, an Israel of chants, a Palestine of rap. I bring pell-mell brouhaha, gut-bucket pandemonium, gospel palaver, jabberwocky saltwater negro yink-yank.
Epiphanies of et cetera, phallic symbol exclamation points, verse fluting in cadence or with vengeance. Jabbering, double-crossing, double-talk. Pale-assed potasters, void of my blue caucus raucous lyrics. Too negroid and rowdy. While sable sassy poets preach, I ink. Too blankly, comme les blancs. My bleached-out verse, bleating to whitey-like. Worse in the ears. What can I say? All this blather about black and white verse is blackmail and white noise. Cripes, English, fallacious, be finished here. I'd rather stutter a bastard's language only spoken in gutters, a broken, vulgar Creole screech, loud with bawling, slurring, balderdash, cussing, and caterwauling, a corrupt palaver that bankrupts all meeching speech because it be literal. Guttural poetry, i.e. hubbub.
A seventh-generation black singer from the province, Les Familles Blanches Provence, I am party to poet, too. The supreme, majestic East Coasters, Portia White, Nelson Simons, Bucky Adams, Linda Carvery, Harvey Miller, Misha Brugger-Gossman, Jeremiah Sparks, Delvina Bernard, Gary Beals, Faith Nolan, Joe Seeley in the Nova Scotia Mass Choir.
Brother, sister, have you heard that?
My lived history is acoustic, atavistic blues. Dylan Thomas, delirium tremens in verse, pseudo-zoological aping of ye old great poets.
Halifax slum projects where rats tangled across Ouija boards to rat out fake lovers. Finally, a Toronto of saris, patties, and martinis.
And all that is left is to sup on alcohol, then fall blunt upon the muse, her softness.
Like any supercilious bastard.
Believing intellect makes poetry of every orgasm. To revive Irving Layton and ask with pound.
Hast thou found a nest softer than Cunis? Or hast thou found better rest?
Yeah, I crave the endless holy feminine. Cream caramel, sea wash molasses, pale sprays of blossoms, apple blossoms, poetry! Southeasterly bards, must I die inaudibly like John Thompson, Alden Nolan, Milton Acorn? Nah, I'll have my church and woman, by God!
The blue moon shadows silences of black water. My love, like a delicate flower, he curls, vivid, violet, in the nest of a poem. It's dark love, it's shadows. Pines, breath, eyelashes, wind.
Lushly a dewed light falls, blushing branches it clears. What doubts had pressed down leaves, and lets pressed lips, lilacs, lilies, tulips flow. lushly flourish.
The new spring with fresh blossoms comes. Lovers purple, they pour themselves like balm or ointment upon each other. Then come, while sun heaps light at our windows foam.
I must shout, sing loud, liberal, to have sweet lungs, plus it's April.
You may be to the entendre, but you are a pianist, si vous voulez l'emploi.
No, it's your music that resembles the beautiful, fragrant apple blossoms. Lushly adieu, light falls, blushing branches it clears. What doves had just like leaves, and let's rest lips while on
floor each door is
closed,
at our windows
I must shout, sing loud, liberal,
to have sweet lungs, plus it's April.
Adieu'd light falls.
Adieu'd light falls.
Here, on the bleakest edge of history, I was fashioned like you by desperation, a sire's hands on a siren's breast. And when I felt a burning body pressing against mine, it was really just my hot shame. And all my lovers left me, cut to the bone, which is okay. I had no heart to start with. So small a thing is poetry. This verse, the messy syllables of meaning, nothing so ruthless as rueful verse. Yet, though it hurts sometimes to sing, I lift my voice to the residue of stars, this chilly dew refreshing my face, and I tumble each vowel and consonant in line because there's vodka and rain in the fridge, another sheaf of lies ready to be typed. And I must be impeccably imperfect, impish, taking Calvados and talking of rhyme, having come through mixed-up ceremonies of love. Knowing that our mortality is born from our desire for beauty. As is poetry. As is poetry.
There is birth, then death, then judgment. What is life but a flickering breath? Look back, the grave lies before you.
Thank you.
You've just heard East Coasting, or Make It Beautiful, by George Eliot Clark, with original and arranged music by Joe Seeley, who doubled as music director and pianist. In the cast, you heard Philip Aiken as the poet and Arlene Duncan as the muse. Darrell Huggins was the male singer, and the musicians were Colleen Allen, Bruce Cassidy, Paul Novotny, and Steve Heathcote. The recording engineer was Todd Ferracci. The associate producer was Rosie Fernandez. The recording producer was Matthew Baird. This program was conceived, produced, and directed by the executive producer of our Black History Month special, Damiano Pietropaolo in Toronto, who's back in his chair as regular host for Sunday Showcase and Monday Night Playhouse. Hello, Damiano.
Hello, Alison. I love the way you say that. I'd like to thank you very much for participating with us in the CBC special presentation for Black History Month, and hope that you have enjoyed yourself as much as we have.
I certainly did, and it was my pleasure, Damiano. And on behalf of the Obsidian Theatre Company, I'd really like to thank the CBC for helping us to celebrate the powerful presence of Black culture in Canada.
And as we have done with Black History Month, we'll not limit our showcasing of artists of African-Canadian heritage only to the shortest month of the year.
Thank you. And though our Black History Month special lasted 7 weeks, like all good things, it has now come to an end.
Till next time. Bye-bye, Alison.
Bye, Damiano.
And don't forget to join us next week when we present the first offering in our Bell Canada reading series from the Shaw Festival, The Showing Up of Blanco Bosnet. That's it for tonight. For Monday Night Playhouse, I'm executive producer Damiano Pietropaolo. Stay with us now for After Hours on CBC Radio 2. Good night.
You're tuned to CBC Radio 2, Classics and Beyond, in Ottawa at 103.3 FM.